Well, happy belated post-Oscar nominations to both of you.
Yeah.
It's been so long since the nominations.
I know. I know. I didn't realize we were so derelict in our duty to the fans.
Was like a movement.
Yeah.
So can we talk very briefly about the new nomination announcement thing?
We can, but first let's say this is the
Oh,
Film
yeah.
Experience. I'm your host, Nathaniel, and I'm here with Nick.
If you don't know me by
And Joe.
I can't sing. It's too early, everybody. Hello.
So yeah, that nomination announcement. Talk about now we're really going back in time, expecting people to remember the morning of.
I know. Listen, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably do, though, is the thing.
Burn into your brain. Is this really the right podcast for you?
So, I did not enjoy it.
No, I didn't either. It felt like a weird, uncomfortable middle ground between what they really seem to want to do and what they've been doing. And it was like the worst of all worlds. We're just like, we're gonna like gather these seven or eight or so actors and actresses and Oscar nominees and whatnot together to sort of just like talk about what they felt to get nominated for an Oscar. But then we're still gonna have this weird like Alexa voice like reading the nominations. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, it seemed like they wanted to do like a produce special, but didn't have the go ahead to do it or something.
We're on the inevitable road to eventually this being its own primetime hour-long special on TV where they can get ratings out of it and people will watch and everything like that. And for whatever reason, they're not there yet. And I'm not saying I want that to happen, but it feels like that's the inevitability here. And if that's going to be the case, then just like rip the Band-Aid off and like put me out of my misery, because this middle ground stuff, I'm never going to have, Salma Hayek weeping tears of joy for Guillermo del Toro ever again. So that day, those days are gone, apparently. And this is just this weird, like, hospice situation for the old way. I don't
What
know.
an analogy. The Oscars did not die, everyone.
Sorry, am I being dramatic? Me?
They're just going through some changes. Some painful changes.
Painful changes. Yes, exactly.
I really do miss the gasps and cheers for
Yes.
from like the press assembled, plus I didn't understand this at the time. I thought it was always press making those noises.
No, it's
But it was
publicist.
actually publicists, so they're like
Yeah.
congratulating themselves, when they get
Yes, it's great.
nominations and stuff.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which,
Well,
you know,
oh, okay.
yeah, I mean, which, you know, it for them it's it's like getting a raise, you know.
I was gonna say it's bonus day for
Yeah.
sure, yeah.
Well, would there have been any gasps?
Probably not. I mean, Michael Shannon, maybe.
Would have gasped.
Michael Shannon, yeah.
I mean the same thing, but there's no way Michael Shannon's publicist isn't also like smoking out the back, forgot the category was even coming up.
Solid point, solid point.
Yeah. Maybe for Isabel. Because they worked their asses off for that.
Well, and like somebody like Ruth Negga would have gotten a little like burst
Woo!
of
Yeah.
applause. You know what I mean? Like one of
Yeah.
those things. No real shockers, but sometimes there are people who are like borderline and kind of new to the scene, and like they'll get a little like round of applause, which is always, I mean, we are people who are obsessed with this kind of thing, so we find like the little, nuggets of this kind of stuff, and we cherish that kind of stuff, like the gasps or the
Yeah.
or. The way that they choose the person to read the nominations with the Academy president, and this was especially true back when it was this sort of long and uninterrupted line of male Academy presidents, so it would always be,
Yeah.
a former supporting actress nominee. But
Or
I
Kevin
mean,
Spacey, which depending on how you
or
put it, is the same
you
thing.
know what? I'm trying to re now that we're having this discussion, I'm trying to remember what happened the year of that completely shocking Best Director lineup. where both Ben Affleck and Catherine Bigelow didn't make it.
Well, but that was the fucked up year that they decided to let Seth MacFarlane and Emma Stone do their little routine. So we were totally robbed of all of those gasps. It was awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also the year that Chicago totally not cut over to the nominations on any of the morning shows. So I almost killed myself. And then you guys told me that I didn't need to because I had missed a travesty.
It was a travesty. I will
I found out when suddenly Jack Bieber's name was trending on Twitter, and I was like, what?
Whose name was? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Jackie Weaver.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay, so let's jump ahead a little bit. What thing from the nominations, now that, you know, it's a couple weeks on, voting starts as you're listening to this, basically, for the actual wins, what is now where you're like, oh, of course. You know how, like, after, like, in hindsight, yeah, everything's in hindsight, like, oh, of course this happened. Is there anything like that for you this year?
I don't know. I feel like maybe, I mean, Annette Bening missing, like, we talked about that sort of ad nauseum. I still don't quite get, I'm still a little bit mystified that Amy Adams could have missed Best Actress when they clearly loved the movie in so many other categories. Mm-hmm. But it's just got to be that they don't value that movie as an acting movie.
Yeah.
Or at least not as much. I mean, and again, she could have missed, you know, top five by one vote or whatever. And it was a very competitive category. But
oh, to see those vote totals.
Oh, my. Well, you know, of course, that's my great, like, you know, if I get one wish in the afterlife, whatever, it would be to just, like, dig through all those vote totals.
I'm good at keeping secrets. I even if it was only for me.
Yeah.
Really, there's a few years.
How dare you? It's nice what our friendships mean.
I mean, I'm just curious, like, if it's always, like, closer than we expect, even on years where it seems like a done deal, or if it's always a done deal even when it seems close, you know, things like that.
What do we think about the influx of new names in the both cinematography and score categories? Like, that seems great, right? Like,
I'm still shocked. Like, I actually thought I was being all, like, sneaky and I was gonna look really good afterwards, because I was like, y'all are insane at your score predictions. And of course I did terrible on my score predictions, because I was like, this does not happen. They're not gonna nominate all these new composers. Like,
I backed off of Thomas Newman at the last minute, and I was kicking myself after. I was just like, of course they were gonna nominate that. But other than that, like, yeah, it was really exciting how many sort of
I've never seen more than two new people. And this has four.
Yeah.
Four of the five. Like, it's just...
In each of those categories, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, but for score especially, like, I literally can't remember a year where it was more than two new composers.
Yeah.
It's almost always just one new person and all the people who get nominated all the time.
Yeah. I guess it's a testament to how... Go ahead, Nick.
No, it's okay.
Well, I was going to say, I guess it's a testament to how much the Best Picture field is filled with movies that, I guess it's
that
not...
That also had good scores.
Well, right, exactly. But, yeah. Like, you know, movies like Moonlight and Lion and La La Land, where, you know, the talent behind the camera aren't exactly the same old names we keep hearing in Oscar movies.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say earlier?
I also felt like filling out even my ballot for the film experience stuff. Like, cinematography is a category where I usually have trouble winnowing down from, like, the 20 that I want to include, and it's not like I thought it was a bum year for cinematography exactly, but both when I was predicting, and I think that was the only race I got all of them right. But also when I was thinking of my own favorites, the field felt kind of narrower than usual. And the score, too, it was just hard to figure out, like, if they weren't going to you know, recognize Jackie in Moonlight. Like, what were they going to do? Like,
I just assumed it would be, you know, the BFG for John Williams.
Sure, yeah.
Just because it always is, so that's a shocker.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Although the people's desire to seem to want to act like the BFG didn't happen is extraordinary.
Never underestimate a person's ability to will something out of existence.
That's true.
Yeah.
We'll see you in court.
Yeah. I can't believe I have to see the Benghazi movie.
Oh God! To do your ranking every single nominee.
Yeah, that was just such a bummer.
Did you watch it already?
Not yet. I did watch Deepwater Horizon, and I was kind of okay with that movie, like half of that movie. So,
which half?
The second half. Once the well blows, it becomes a very effective disaster movie. It's just the wading through the hip-deep omens and portent getting to that point. Mm-hmm.
There were so many.
It's tough sailing.
Yeah, I just watched it too. Yeah.
I have not seen it. It's that also one yet.
Like, it's just so appalling that in a text in the final frame before they cut to the credits, they're like, also, it was very bad for the environment. I'm like, oh, good. I think somebody would say that in a movie called Deepwater Horizon, but I'm glad that guy ate all the fireballs. Like, whatever. And it did seem a little more like, when I was kind of surprised to see it so in the mix with things like visual effects, because my presumptions about that movie, which I had wanted to see in theaters, was like that it might be things that people are pretty used to doing, fireballs, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
All the mud was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I guess I should see
this. I forgot what I was gonna say. Oh, but I was a little let down by like the, I didn't really feel like I very often understood where I was on the rig relative to anything else. And even when things were like crashing and burning and the camera was pointing at them about to like break off, that piece is about to break off from that other piece, and then they'd cut to some character and I'm like, oh, you're cutting that person because that's who's going to die when that piece breaks off of that piece. That person turned out to not even be near that piece. Whatever.
Yeah, that's not a bad point. Grabs
again, Water Horizon.
Okay, so let's talk about La La Land.
Yes.
Is it going to sweep? Yes? No?
Well, it can't sweep.
Right.
Because it's nominated twice in song. But
well, that would still be a sweep if it won song, though, and everything else. But it's not. It's obviously not going to do a clean sweep because Ryan Gosling's not going to win.
Right.
But is it going to lose any of the tech categories? Like, is it going to lose costume design, which I think is possible?
Oh, you think that's the one that's possible? I think they've got that one for sure. I think there are a couple categories where it's sort of teetering on the edge. Sound editing seems
sound
like...
Sound editing?
Yeah. Sound editing, I would say screenplay, I would say... I want to say cinematography, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure what if there's momentum, you know, amassing behind any one of those.
Why do you suppose that, I mean, I think Lion is beautiful, but why do you suppose it won the Cinematography Guild? Do you think it's just Greg Fraser's body of work thus far? Because that was kind of a surprising win.
But it's also the one with the most, I mean, sometimes cinematography is the Sweeping Vista movie, and it has a lot of sort of wide shots of like the kid running down the train tracks and that kind of stuff. I feel like it's one of those movies that looks like a cinematography movie, if you know what I mean.
Yes. I mean, it is beautiful, especially the first half.
I think it's too. Yeah, I think he does a fantastic job.
And I wonder too if you get like, you know, a pretty substantial like half at least of the movie that's exactly what you're saying, Joe, and then also you have to figure out how to shoot train stations that have nothing in them at night. And you also have to figure out how to show people Googling all the time and make that visually interesting. And
right.
I wonder if you're a fellow cinematographer, if that's even more impressive.
Hmm. That is a point.
What do you guys think about what are the La La Land vulnerability points?
I mean, it's just hard to say, because whenever... I mean, sweeps don't happen the way they used to happen. Like, right. You don't generally get, like, a Gandhi or costume design, you know. But... You know, so it's...
Although when Into the West, best song, I was like, something's happening tonight.
Oh, right. Oh yeah. That happened, you knew. You knew where it was going.
Well, that's true, but that's... Think of how long ago that was.
Exactly.
And it used to be that, you know, the best picture winner would win. I mean, lately it's been like 3 Oscars, which is not that... I mean, it's not unheard of, but it's not as common as it used to be to rack up a lot of wins. Mm-hmm. So, well, I'm just wondering, like, with sound, like, obviously, because it's a musical, it could win the sound categories, but the sound categories have often, lately, has seemed like they're paying more attention, right? Like, strange wins that we weren't expecting. Remember that tie? Sound editing recently?
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So, I do wonder, like, I don't think it's going to break any win records. But I'm just wondering, like, how many it could win. Like, is it going to tie West Side Story? Is it going to
I think it ended up getting so many nominations because it didn't seem so... It's like it's... It sort of pings in a lot of different categories, right? Where, like, it's... the kind of movie with, you know, big bright costumes and you know, beautiful sets and that kind of thing. And, like, there are very few, I mean, for a movie that doesn't seem like it should have been a record-setting Oscar, you know, movie, mm-hmm. it's tough to take too much objection into any one category beyond, like, again, like, I don't get that sound editing nomination. I really don't. But and that is even with the caveat that I don't know sound as well as... Mm-hmm. you know, experts in that field, but just like I always was under the impression that sound editing was for movies with a lot of gunfire and a lot of like, I just don't know what we were getting in La La Land effects wise.
Right.
That, you know, beyond the fact that they just sort of like loved that movie. And so I have to feel like a movie like Hacksaw Ridge with its, you know, big battle scenes and whatever would be a much better, much bigger threat to win. That category,
the sound editing.
Does that mean Kevin O'Connell would finally win?
What's that?
Does that mean Kevin O'Connell would finally win? Is that the category he's up for?
He's in sound mixing for Hacksaw Ridge, which I think Holland is going to win that one in a walk. Like that's sort of.
Me too.
I think that one's theirs.
Yeah, I do too. Well, I mean, like, the sound categories, I do often wonder why. I understand that they're different disciplines, but so are things like production design and set decorations.
Well, right.
You know,
lighting,
they fall under the same thing, but they have to share a category. And I've never quite understood why sound mixing and sound editing, even though they are different disciplines, why they get their own separate things.
Especially because the nominees sort of overlap at least 3 out of 5 kind of always, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah. So it seems strange to me. Like, if you're going to separate skills like that, then set decorators should have a separate Oscar from production designers. You know, and it's just strange that I wonder why the sound branch has such power that they could finagle two categories.
Yeah. Well, that was that one really good union renegotiation that right. worked out well for them.
Yeah.
Talk to me about costume, though. You think that La La Land is vulnerable in costume. To what movie do you think?
Well, see, that's the thing. I think if... Like, I think the costumes are great. Like, I wrote a whole piece on them. Like, I'm very happy about that nomination. Not just because contemporary movies never get nominated, but just because I think it's worthy. But I think if it wins, it's going to be primarily because they haven't settled on... what else to give, who to award instead.
Well, it's the only category that's up against no other Best Picture nominees, right? I think.
I'm going to the page. Yeah, no other Best Picture nominees, but Jackie is sort of like a more of a traditional type of winner.
Yeah, I think if it would be anything, it would probably be Jackie.
Yeah.
But then I don't. I mean,
Jackie doesn't seem to have a lot of fans.
Sort of my point. Yeah. Although if
also,
it would,
I
go ahead, Nick.
I understand that it's more complicated than this, I'm sure, but let's assume that I'm with a lot of lay people in the Academy who might also think, like, so they kind of copied some stuff she famously wore.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Like, I'm kind of a little not so into that nomination. And it's funny that it's next to, like, the score nomination, where it's, like, one of the most adventurous things they possibly could have done.
Yeah.
And then they're also like, Jack Kennedy wore clothes that were chic. Like, yes, she did. Also, she is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that category in and of itself is normally one of my favorite categories, and this year it's a lot of just sort of like, huh, like, Florence Foster Jenkins, like, they did wear, you know, some interesting clothes in that time period, but, like, I can't think of anything really costume-wise that jumps out at me. And I liked that movie, but, like, I don't know. I felt
like
it was
hard to see all the costumes in that movie, because Meryl was wearing, like, 9 of them at the same time, and so you didn't know, like, maybe the fifth layer of dresses that she was wearing was the really awesome one.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed that, you know, like, Hail Caesar wasn't in the category.
I was shocked that it got... I mean, I thought the sets were good, too, but I thought if they would get anything, it would be that. It would be costume and not production design.
Yeah, but then that would have been two nominations for Mary Zofri, so...
Interesting.
Perhaps La La Land, she can thank the Coen brothers as well, since she works with them all the time.
That would be cool.
You're no Dante Ferretti, Mary Zofri's. Sit down.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so what are you guys guessing? Like, how many Oscars for La La Land? Back to the point.
Back to the point.
Like, I guess... 10? 9? I think it's going to be a lot.
I'm going to say 9.
Yeah,
that I'm just seems not like sure what bet. It's going to lose.
Right, well, that's the thing. Yeah.
You guys count really fast.
Well, I was just sort of counting backwards from 14 and just sort of knocking off a few of them.
Well, it can only win 13. Unless there's a tie for best song.
Yeah, that's true. But if there is a tie for best song, that would be really funny. That's when everybody who really hates La La Land, like, turns off the Oscars and it's just, like, forever. I will also...
Is it going to win editing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to win that.
I think so. I'm really worried it's going to win screenplay.
A screenplay?
Yeah. I'm going to be really bummed if it wins screenplay. I have to be honest.
It does seem possible.
It does.
Particularly since it is a really strong category. So maybe...
It could spread votes out.
Yeah, Manchester by the Sea's, you know, vote margins might not be what they would have been if it didn't have, like, incredible movies like 20th Century Women and The Lobster in there.
Can you imagine if Moonlight was also in that category, if they hadn't changed its eligibility?
Wow.
Right? And then what ends up winning adapted screenplay? Like, does, you know, Lion or Hidden Figures end up winning adapted... Well, I guess Fences is a pretty strong contender.
I don't know. It seems like Fences has... It seems like nobody's talking about the screenplay to that.
Well, except for Denzel when he wins his awards. And
that's true. That's true.
With August Wilson up front.
So do we think Denzel's going to take the Oscar?
I think it's real close.
Yeah, I do too.
I think it's really close. I think
an interesting article by Joseph Reed.
Thank you, Nick. I did write about that this week. I think there's historical precedent on both sides. I think the degree to which Casey Affleck swept the critical the stage of this Oscar race is... not to be underestimated. It's like Nicolas Cage level of, like, how much he won. And it's tempting to sometimes overrate the SAGs. Like, the SAGs don't always go 4 for 4, but they've been getting a lot more predictive in recent years. As the Golden Globes have been getting less predictive.
Yeah.
So I think Denzel, if I were to percentage-wise, I'd probably put Denzel at like 52-48 over Casey at this point.
I do think it's going to be very, very close. And I always, every year, I even though like it's funny in my personal life, I hate ties, but every year I hope at the Oscars that we have some weird tie.
Yeah.
Just because they're so rare at the Oscars.
Just give yourself over to it. Just like ties. Just be like, you know what, they're great.
Although, is it wishful thinking that people are starting to wonder if Isabel Huppert is going to win?
I think that's a little...
Thinking, right? It's not going to happen. It's going to be Emma Stone.
I think it's going to be Emma Stone. I don't think it's going to be particularly...
Because that would have been... That would be one of the strangest Oscar wins of all time if Huppert takes it.
Yeah.
I mean, a great Oscar win, but it would be one of the strangest ever. It would be up there with, like, Glenda Jackson and Women in Love or something. Like, really?
Okay, but... Honestly, which of those nominees in that category is most likely to scare Vladimir Putin and have some sway? Like, it's not Meryl Streep or Natalie. I think Russia could be behind Isabelle Huppert. I think she probably knows things that they're scared she'll release about them.
I didn't realize this was going to be the X factor that we have to worry about in all these categories now.
Well,
I have to go and recalibrate all my lists.
It definitely, the politics could definitely affect foreign film.
Yeah. Well, now, do we think The Salesman now has a big chance to win?
I think it's going to win because...
You think it's going to win?
Not...
I already thought it had a good chance.
That's the thing. I already thought it had a good chance because... Tony Erdman has just not been as popular once it actually came out as with how critics felt about it.
Uh-huh.
And we already know that they really dig Farhadi.
We should mention why in case people are listening and they don't know. But
it's the current unconstitutional Muslim ban. So Farhadi and his actress are both not coming to the Oscars.
Yes.
So there's been a lot of articles about that, and of course, it's a real bummer, because even, you know, before it happened, when I printed my interview with Farhadi this year, like, one of the things that was so lovely about talking to him is how, like, international he felt the Oscars were, even though they don't get credit for being.
Yeah.
He was really lovely about that, and thought it was very important, and it was really nice to spend time with the filmmakers from all over the globe that he sat with, you know, that season. And so it just seems like it's just, you know, film is meant to be like a universal language. So it seems like very ugly that, you know, we have to separate like that.
It would be a good moment if that movie won and then whoever comes up to accept the award on his behalf gets the chance to speak and sort of
it is my personal favorite in the category, with the caveat that I have not yet seen Australia. I haven't managed to see Australia, as I haven't got a screener or anything. And it played for 1 week in Manhattan months ago, and I missed it.
It was months ago, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
So. Yeah, so I mean, I would love to see Australia's entry because I've heard it's interesting. But I of the nominees, it's actually The Salesman is totally my favorite. Have you guys seen all of them?
I haven't. I've seen The Salesman though, and I really liked it. I feel like I'm saving all of the foreign language films for last. Those are like the last few of the ones that I still need to see. Mm-hmm. But I really did like The Salesman quite a bit.
What about you, Nick? I know you didn't completely love Tony Erdman, but have you seen the
others? I've only seen those two. I like that. I mean, I would vote for The Salesman between those two.
Right. Yeah, I still don't understand how the executive committee didn't save L, but whatever.
That is a surprise, right? It feels like that's the kind of movie that the executive committee was sort of created for.
And obviously people like it, you know. It's won a lot of things that people didn't expect it to win. So I'm assuming...
But it's in a weird place where a lot of people like it and a lot of people really hate it except for her.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, I still, the whole finalist thing was odd to me this year because I also was completely mystified that they didn't go for Neruda, which I thought was excellent.
Yeah, that was also, and especially because Chile has been so successful as of late in that category.
Yeah. And it's a star they like and a, director who was
Yeah.
having a good year. It's just strange.
So, can we talk about Best Picture for a second? Because I know there's been, and maybe it's just IndieWire, but like I know they had that article this week where, like why Moonlight could win Best Picture, and here's how it could happen, and that kind of thing. And I sort of brushed it off initially because it seems such a crazy notion that anything but La La Land could win this year. And particularly this sort of notion that like Oscar voters would vote politically this year. Even it all just seemed, I sort of like was knee-jerk against it. But then I was sort of thinking that the way Best Picture has been splitting from Best Director and sort of all a lot of the other categories recently, where like Best Picture has become almost this like niche category where you can win with just like a few, other wins, Spotlight being that way, when 12 Years a Slave and Gravity split, where it's becoming like Best Picture isn't necessarily the movie that you like the best in all these other categories. And Best Director feels like that the culmination of those sort of, technical achievements. And this would be if La La Land wins a bunch of awards up into Best Director and then loses Best Picture, that would be like the most like crystalline kind of depiction of that phenomenon happening recently. Do you think there's a chance of that, or is that just crazy?
I think
I
that's.
cannot imagine it at
I
all.
can't either. I think it's a like a clickbait,
Yeah.
because people have to write pieces about what if this happens. The thing with last year with and the thing with 12 Years a Slave, in both of those cases, like, it seemed very possible that the best picture was not going to be the one that took the most Oscars.
Right.
Whereas in this case, La La Land really does seem far out front, in a lot of ways. And also, La La Land, despite Twitter,
Right.
it is
Right.
not divisive. It feels divisive because front runners always get that sort of polarization. But it's actually very popular. Like, it's globally way out even front of Hacksaw Ridge,
Yeah.
Like, people just really, which is kind of shocking because, like, a war movie that you don't need subtitles for didn't make as
Yeah.
much as La La Land. But I just don't think it's divisive despite Twitter. Whereas, didn't it always feel like The Revenant was divisive?
Yes. I mean, again, though, like that's another one where like I only really experienced
We
the
all
Revenant.
just remember the Revenants, and
I know,
we
for the
had like
first
a
time in
mild.
months. It's true. I was just
We're
like,
like, oh my
The Revenant.
God.
I do recall that movie.
Which I literally bought the full of yesterday because I have to teach. Well, I don't have to do anything, but I'm teaching part of the movie next year. I was like, what am
Yeah,
I
you really
doing?
don't have to, Nick. Like, free
You're really
yourself.
going above and beyond. I don't know what the class is for, but I hope your students give you a standing ovation.
Or something.
The class is in bison porn. I
Like,
think The Revenant was divisive in those same circles, though, that I'm finding La La Land to be divisive. So it's tough for me to like, speak objectively on either because I really don't have,
well,
I don't have
I.
experience outside that bubble, I guess. I hate using the word bubble these days, but yeah.
Right. But I mean, I think the thing with Moonlight is, obviously I love it, and it would, of the Best Picture nominees, it would get my vote. But I don't actually think it's as popular as, it is the, like, the least, like, mainstream of the nominees and the least like financially successful and all that. That doesn't always matter, but I have a hard time imagining that it would be like everyone's number two, which is basically what it would need to win. You know what
Right.
I'm saying? Whereas with Spotlight, it was really easy to see that as everyone's second choice or first choice.
And a lot of people's first. Yeah. I mean, I think that, like, last year and the year before, there were a lot of reasons to vote for a couple different nominees, and it actually felt kind of down to the wire. And I hear what you're saying. Like, I guess The Revenant felt divisive between, like, I hated it versus, oh, come on, that was really hard to make versus this, which if it's divisive, it's between like, I hated it. Well, I loved it more than anything I've loved in a long time. And I think what's weird about this year's nomination slate is just how many categories to include Best Picture, I guess, feel like they're full of things that can't win. I mean, makeup is entirely made of movies that can't win, and something's going to have to
I wanted to bring that up. Like,
win.
what do we actually think is going to win that category?
Yeah, that's yeah, it's strange. I don't
I
I
kind of think it's going to be Uwe.
I kind of think it's going to be Suicide Squad, but I think you are just as likely to be right as I am.
And I was just going to say, and I kind of think it's going to be Star Trek
Oh my God, you
VR.
guys, let's make this a thing. Perfect.
I mean, does.
Whoever wins comes back to the next podcast and does, I don't know.
But we said it about costume design. Like, it's kind of true about the sound categories a little bit, maybe not quite as much, but there are a lot of them where,
Yeah.
like, yeah.
How many Best Picture nominees go home completely empty-handed?
Well, see, that's the thing, because usually it's been very spread the wealth for quite a while
Right.
in Oscars, but if La La Land really does take, 8 to 11 prizes or whatever, there's going to be like not much else that people can win.
Like, I think Arrival is almost guaranteed to win nothing, which is crazy because it's got so many nominations.
Yeah.
I think Hell or High Water is not going to win anything. Hidden Figures, I think, is going to win anything. Lion, if it doesn't win cinematography, then it's not going to win anything. Manchester, if it doesn't win screenplay, it's not going to win. Well, no, because Casey, too. But it's going to be like three or four Best Picture nominees that are going to get absolutely nothing. It's kind of,
Which is
I don't
strange.
know. Yeah, I don't know how that shakes out in the up to 10 era, but that seems like a lot.
It is like I looked at it the other day. It would be unusual
Yeah.
for the new era, 'cause like usually like it's been pretty good about everybody gets one, like a little consolation prize.
Yeah.
Well, and it's noteworthy that Arrivals could easily have been the visual effects category that refused to nominate it, and Hacksaw Ridges could have easily been the makeup category, which refused to nominate it. Like, there are places where it would have picked those up to avoid the like sending it home empty-handed, that just aren't available.
I do wonder if Arrival hadn't been disqualified for score. I think La La Land obviously would still take that Oscar, but I wonder who would have been left out since it was such an unusual category.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm not gonna be honestly, here's my clickbait. I don't see that Ryan Gosling is out of it for actor.
Because the voting is going to be spread between Affleck and
Because the
Washington.
voting seems, yeah, like that I know that the single thing that we're always being told to like put away as an Oscar myth is that like, well, if these two split the vote, this third thing could come in the middle, when usually one of those two things that split the vote just take it anyway. But
Right.
We have no idea how close that race actually is.
Right, and
And
Ryan
if you
Gosling
don't
was
want
never going to win the
to go,
Critics' Awards anyways.
he was never going to win any of those Critics Awards. Everybody loves him and thinks he should have an Oscar. Denzel has two already. Casey's got problems. Like, and it's the movie that they love everywhere else. And who doesn't want to see Ryan and Emma Stone holding Oscars together at the same time? Like, and he learned piano, which people keep telling me about. I'm like, that's what you are seizing on, but he gave that great speech at the Globes, and I don't know. I just wouldn't be surprised.
I would be kind of happy if he did win, actually. I do. I'm one of those people who just sort of like, I fall for the Ryan Gosling thing, like hook, line, and sinker. I think he's so charming. And I think it's good that we're encouraging him to be in a movie like La La Land instead of that sort of pit of, you know, grim criminals that he had been playing for a few years there, where it just felt like that's what you're going to do with your, you know, deep of charisma, is like play these like scumbag drug dealers or whatever. It's just like, no, like, don't do that.
Do you refer to Gangster Squad?
That's all the time we have, you guys.
Yeah.
That's it. Once Gangster Squad comes up, that's the
that's sort of the podcast. The podcast has been canceled indefinitely.
This was fun, you guys.
Yes, it was. I almost want to keep talking. Fly. What was that?
All I would have said is that I think Kubo might win visual effects, which would be kind of cool.
That would be super cool, actually. Yeah.
You know, it's so weird that Marvel can't seem to win those, right?
Yeah, like consistently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And didn't even get nominated for Civil War this year.
It's true.
Because when I saw Doctor Strange, I was like, wow, this is going to win the special effects Oscar, but clearly it's not going to.
People just were not enthused about that movie in general.
Yeah.
Most of the Asian people I know were really happy about it.
Well, thanks, guys. We will be back next week. Katie will rejoin us for the last podcast before the Oscars.
My God, you guys, it's already here.
It is. Voting is now taking place as you're listening to this. So, may all your wishes come true unless they disagree with our wishes.
Yes, exactly.
Somewhere right. June Squibb is like, I have to watch Benghazi? Fuck. Where's the red box?
Hear you, June.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you at the red box, June.